What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, January 21st, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Yetis.
Let's him host. Now, Greg, when I was young,
sure,
in school, there would always be that transition period where, you know what, whenever you did your homework, you'd always have to write your name and the date on the top right.
Sure.
You know, there's that new year moment where you're just like, you're not used to doing 21. You used to doing 20.
Well,
whole thing, right? And like, there's certain things from that age, cursive, that just go away. You just never need to use them again. And it's like, okay, sure, you have your signature, but like, when's the last time you wrote in cursive ever?
Well, I think I was doing it for a long time up until because I was still doing it in checks. I thought checks had to be in cursive. And then finally somebody's like, no, they don't. And I was like, what? And then I just totally forgot it all. That fucking cursive Z, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck
what
out.
What are you trying to do? What?
I'm
going to write an M, so I'll add an extra little mountain to it. Who has time for this?
No. But the point that I was trying to make is, while cursive is far gone from my memory, losing the idea of knowing the date as the new year transitions, that will always be here. Because I'm still here, and I just realized yesterday that for our spreadsheet where we put all our headlines and stuff for all the different shows, I've been putting 2020 for so many things, and I had to go in and like...
Games Daily the other day or something like that, I had to correct a couple 2020s in there. It's gonna happen. You know what I mean? You know, I'm right there with you. It's muscle memory to put the two and the zero there. But look at it right now. You know, 01.21.21.
There we go. 21.
It's times like these, Kevin, where I'm like, just for this year, we should do a 21st month so we can have 21.21.21. What is wrong with Kevin? Kevin's muted too. We did one take of the show where we opened it and my microphone was still muted from when I blew my nose. And then I was called out on it. But then at the end of it, Kevin noticed when he was muted as well. And Kevin is now in the phantom zone. There's no way out for Kevin.
Greg, I do have a quick question about this before we get to the video game talk that you need to know.
Sure.
When you want a 21st month, like, to just a name, or like, do you want this year to be 21 months?
Here's the thing. What I've done right now is God, in his or her infinite wisdom, tossed me the ball, right? And I just shot my shot and said, I want a 21st month. You know what I mean? Now, if fucking Bernie Sanders and the World Health Organization over there, that's up to them to decide. Is it going to be, is 2020 going on long enough to get, like, do we shorten 2020? Do we just count it? Do we expand it out a bit? You know, I don't know. Are we skipping months to get somewhere? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how we're doing it. Yes, Tim Yetis, kindoffunny.com.
I have a suggestion on how we should do it.
Sure.
We could look to the groundhogs, as we often do.
I appreciate these conundrums. Yeah. Groundhog does know how to do this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let's see. Hold on.
Does this seem normal? Everyone can hear me like normal?
Chat, can you hear Kevin?
No. I know they can hear. I'm asking you guys.
Yeah, I can hear you. That's not normal to me.
No.
Groundhog, yes or no, is what we're
sounds like
put
you're in.
In
a blender, but
sounds like you're in a fucking blender, Tim.
Whoa,
your stupid haircut.
Okay, hold on a second. Calm down. Did you? What'd you do? You shave the sides down here? Is that the play?
Yeah. Just faded it on both sides.
Well, then I couldn't find an easy way to find a groundhog online who could answer this question for us of how we would get to it. It could be smarch, lousy smarch weather. We could just do that. You know what I mean?
Were you looking up like groundhogs you could talk to, or?
Put in groundhog yes or no on Google. I was hoping there was some smart ass out there had made a fucking does the groundhog see a shadow.com kind of thing.
Does any state allow you to own groundhogs?
I'm sure multiple do. I follow a groundhog on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. We got to get in touch with him or his owners.
Or now, here's the thing. I like, again,
is it not a pet?
I mean, he takes care of it and it's captive, so that's a pet, I'd say. Here's what I'm going to say. Again, we're having a lot of great ideas right now. In a lot of ways, you, me, and Kevin right now are like Henry Ford, all right? And so we have a lot of different parts of making the mechanized belt here.
Sure, the conveyor belt. Yeah, that's what you're trying to engineer, huh?
The assembly line. We're on the precipice of doing that. You know what I mean? It's like when Einstein was sitting there, like, how does a light bulb work? You know what I mean? And hit his head on the sink and figured it all out. Like, we need to put it all together. And I'm just saying, before we approach the groundhog we follow on Instagram, We need to figure out exactly what we're asking him. That's the one thing we have to come up with.
I don't understand how this is the show right now. I'm just being totally honest with everyone.
It's not
I
don't like know how we got. Today's a busy day.
Yeah, I'm just it's saying, like I don't know how
we're
we got
get
here.
To the news. I'm just saying, here, what I'll put out there right now, everybody, is if just for next month, how about this? This is the compromise. Next month, February, right? We call it, when we just put it in the dates as 21. You know what I mean? We know it's the second month, but we put the 21 there so we can get to 21, 21, 21. Kevin, you can't be heard right now, but he says it's a great idea. If you thought the questions we had right now were fascinating, then I got great news for you, ladies and gentlemen. This is the questions episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Wow. We're going to talk about, is Apple making a VR headset? Is Tencent about to buy a gaming company? Is Valve still making video games? We'll answer all of these and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, you need to be part of the show at patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindafunnygames, you can ask us questions, get on the show, you can give us your squad up requests, and of course on patreon.com/kindafunnygames you can get each and every episode ad free along with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. However, you might say, Greg, I got no bucks to toss your way. It's no big deal. You can head over to twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, like so many of you are and can, just like Drew Tendo 64, the nanobiologist, Maddock Jr., we see you. We appreciate you. We love you. But you have to keep us honest. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Here's what I'm going to float out there, all right?
Please.
Right now, you know, I want it to be the new, I want the corrections in there, right? Nanobiology is already correcting us on groundhogs, which I appreciate quite a bit. Here, I normally want to do this, and I won't ever do it again, probably, maybe, you know, whatever. I'm going to give a shout out to Dave Rooney.
Because
that's the thing is like, is this being locally recorded with sound?
It's a very good question.
That's the big question. Because like, I fill time here because this is great podcasting. If in fact the final version of it has the audio, otherwise I'm just now you're back. Now we're back. It says somebody says we're back. We're back. We're muted. We're back. We're back. There it goes. Huh.
They're saying okay. Interesting. The fact that they're saying we're good, but we still haven't heard from Kevin at all.
Kevin is dead. You know what I mean? Kevin. I don't know. Wait, there he was. Was that? Did I hear him? Did I hear him coming through?
Yeah, yes, we hear you now.
Huh.
But they can hear
Wait, us. So they can't hear anything now? But they can't hear you. See, okay. Oh,
that's
here,
that's
okay.
Great. That's how we should handle this.
See, I think no, it's just when they can't hear you, but we can hear you. I would say shorten the, everything you just said in the three paragraphs to one sentence of they can't hear me. Keep talking.
I don't think that's what you said.
Well, there's no recorded proof.
Rewind.
Oh, wait. I think it's working now. Is it working now?
Can you hear Kevin right now?
Yeah. They should be able to hear me now.
All right, you're back. What I want to do is give a shout out, like I said, to Dave Rooney, who apparently killed the stream right afterwards. He said, hey, you guys should see that Apex Legends new character has been accused of being stolen from a game called Bulletville. Sorry if you mentioned this already. And like I said, no, we spent 10 minutes talking about Groundhog, so we hadn't seen it yet. However, I saw you yelling about this in chat, too. I appreciate that you're so into Apex Legends, Dave Rooney, that you're like, talk about this thing! Talk about this thing! I guess it broke late yesterday or something, that apparently is. And we'll keep our eye on it and see if there's any statements, put it out on it. But there you go, everybody. For now, that's not one of the questions we're answering today. Remember, if you... I just appreciate that Dave Rooney is live, and he is wanting us to talk.
Know.
He needs to hear people talk about this Apex business. If you missed the show live, of course, you don't want to go to Patreon. You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe each and every weekday to get a brand spanking new episode that, of course, has ads and no post show. That's only on Patreon, but I digress. For now, let's do some housekeeping. There's a new episode of The Blessing Show up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It's all about Hitman, IO Interactive, and James Bond. It is, once again, a banger from Blessing and Roger. A lot of good edits there. Amazing graphic works. Even a cold open. You know what I mean? Look at these kids out there, Tim. They're just doing crazy stuff left and right.
A behind-the-scenes secret for you guys. Oh, let secrets. You know that Roger and Blessing are complete and utter phonies.
Oh,
this was actually the phonies. First episode they recorded.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Do y'all feel swindled now? Wow.
I bet you got right there by got supporting God. Us, apparently. Anyway, you got.
Go support these liars and frauds.
Go over
YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Why do we have to be the way we are, you know, guys?
Now, you asking that question, Kevin, is only made better by the fact that we have had nonstop audio issues throughout the show, and you now sound like you are broadcasting at a Little League baseball game.
Get the fuck out. I sound weird right now.
Maybe it's just for us. I don't know. The chat isn't freaking out like that. I think they normally would to hear Garrett come out and announce kind of funny games daily. But yeah. No, he sounds normal over there. All right, fine. Over here.
I'm so mad you guys don't hear what we hear.
It's like I'm talking to the kid.
The next piece of housekeeping for you is, of course, that there is a Resident Evil Village showcase today hosted by What's Good Games' Brittany. Of course, we will be live reacting to it here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames if you have the time to catch it live. If you don't, I assume, Tim, that'll be up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Found the problem.
Yes, of course, that content's going to be worth it. Everybody's going to want to know what's happening over there. Mm-hmm. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Purple, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Now what does he sound like? Now he's like a kid at the end of a cardboard tube.
No, it's normal, right? Do I not sound normal now?
It's not.
You do not sound normal now.
You sound like really early season Red versus Blue.
There you go. Yeah. Number one, Tim, is Apple working on a VR headset? Mark Gurman over at Bloomberg says yes. Apple Incorporated's first crack at a headset is designed to be a niche precursor to a more ambitious augmented reality product that will take longer to develop, according to people with knowledge of the matter. The initial device has confronted several development hurdles, and the company has conservative sales expectations, illustrating how challenging it will be to bring this nascent computer technology to the masses. Nascent, I think, right? As a mostly virtual reality device, it will display an all-encompassing 3D digital environment for gaming, watching video, and communicating. AR functionality, the ability to overlay images and information over a view of the real world, will be more limited. Apple has planned to launch the product as soon as 2022, going up against Facebook's Oculus, Sony's PlayStation VR, and headsets from HTC Corp, the people said. They asked not to be identified discussing private plans. Apple's typical playbook involves taking emerging consumer technologies such as music players, smartphones, tablets, and smartwatches, and making it reliable and easy to use for everyone. This time, though, Apple isn't looking to create an iPhone-like hit for its first headset. Instead, the company is building a high-end niche product that will prepare outside developers and consumers for its eventual more mainstream AR glasses. The plan suggests that Apple's first headset will be far more expensive than its rivals, which cost about $300 to $900. Some Apple insiders believe the company may sell only one headset per day per retail store. Apple has roughly 500 stores, so in that scenario, annual sales would be just over 180,000 units, excluding other sales channels. That would put it on par with other pricey Apple products, such as the $6,000 Mac Pro desktop computer. An Apple spokesperson declined to comment. The headset, codenamed N301, is in late prototype stage, but not yet finalized. So the company's plans. Is your communication channel open this entire time?
What communication channel? What the fuck are you talking about?
Is your mic live the entire time? Because I hear you, and then I hear you like dropping something in the background.
It shouldn't be.
It is. You are live. I can hear you.
God fucking. Well, not for the kids couldn't hear you. So good job being a fucking professional.
Well, you know what? I'm just letting you know. You're the one not being professional as you drag Paul's body around the building, whatever you're doing over there.
Calm down. Do I still sound like you're coming out of a can?
You still sound like you're coming out of a can.
Fuck!
The headset, codename N301, is in late prototype stage, but is not yet finalized, so the company's plans could change or be scrapped entirely before launch. The AR glasses, codenamed N421, are in the early stage, known as architecture, meaning Apple is still working on underlying technologies. This product is several years away, according to people, though Apple has previously targeted as early as 2023 to unveil it. The headset is designed to work as a standalone device, meaning it can be operated on a battery rather than plugged into a wall or Mac. That's similar to Facebook's latest VR product, while Sony's requires a PlayStation gaming console. To further reduce the device's weight, Apple is planning on using a fabric exterior. This is a departure from the metal designs Apple uses for most products, though it has used plastic for devices like AirPods that need to be light, and fabrics for a HomePod speaker to improve acoustics. Prototypes of the headset, some of which are about the size of an Oculus Quest, include external cameras to enable some AR features. The company is testing using the cameras for hand tracking and is working on a feature where a user can type virtually in the air to input text. It's unclear if that function would be ready the first version of the device or if it will ever leave the exploratory stage. By developing a less mainstream initial headset, Apple can invest in the underlying technologies, consumer education, content development, and developer relations to give its eventual AR glasses the best opportunity to be successful when they are ready. Tim, this is a long report from Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. I cut out a whole bunch of stuff if you want to go over there and read Mark Gurman stuff. But you, of course, and me, but we both love Apple, but you're the big tech guy. Yeah. What's your read on this Apple VR headset?
You know, I think it's really interesting. I know in the last couple months, specifically the last month, there's been a lot of talk about Apple getting into something new and announcing a new product, and it was going to be a weird announcement, is what kept being said. A lot of people thought that CES was going to be the place they would do it, or not do it at CES, but tangentially to around CES, kind of like when EA Play will happen next to E3. It's like, okay, it's still the same thing. That ended up not happening. So this news coming out, I don't know if this was what that was going to be or not. I am equally surprised and not surprised by this. Like, it really is a 50-50 thing for me, where I am not surprised at all that Apple would be getting into this, and the way that they're talking about doing it, having it be a super premium product, I think is actually the only way Apple can now enter the realm of VR is by kind of like coming in and just being like, no, ours is hella fancy and we're Apple, so you know what that means. And they have millions of people that know what that means and are going to lust after having this because they need to have the newest Apple thing, right? Like, that is an audience that they could potentially be going after. The other 50% of me goes, this doesn't seem like Apple's MO in modern times. Like, back in the early 2000s, like mid-2000s, probably, I could see them like, hey, the Apple stores are such a huge hit. Getting people to come here to be able to see and play with the stupid camera stuff on the different iMacs, you know what I'm talking about? Like, that was a moment in time, and like that kind of like allowed people to hold an iPod for the first time, to eventually get the iPhone and the iPod Touch and all that stuff. Like, that was all part of this cultural zeitgeist experience, and having a super 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 high quality product in an Apple store is par for the course these days. The coronavirus and all that stuff kind of changes all that, so that makes this even more like unbelievable to me. Because
this seems like a plan out of time.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, because of all that, I'm like, wouldn't be surprised if this never sees the light of day at all and is just a bunch of best laid plans.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think when you talk about, especially this, you know, some Apple insiders believe the company may sell only one headset per day at its retail store. When you think of an Apple store, just like you're talking about, it was and still is to an extent, you know, if you had time, or you have, you know, when we were teenagers, right, and you had time to kill, right, you'd go into the Apple store and just F around, see what's going on with the different computers and, you know, eventually different iPads and so on as you went on. And I feel like, if you had this kind of amazing VR experience that's light, super high quality, way outside of your price range for it to actually do it, you'd want people going in there and trying it out. But in Corona, you can't do that easily.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think it'd even be the best. It just would be the fanciest and most expensive, because that's, again, Apple's MO. Sure. So it's like, I think that their audience wouldn't be the people that have used the Vive before.
Yeah.
Right.
It'd be the
people that have never used VR and are like, oh, this is cool. And now Apple's doing it, so it must be a mainstream thing I should know about. This is tech that I should be up on.
Right.
You know, But again, it is a plan out of time where it's like, that would have made sense even a couple of years ago because that experience would be there. Like, remember the sharper image? How crazy it was, like going
all
there.
All the
like,
chair massagers.
Fun. Yeah, it's just like all this like weird stuff where it's like, man, this tech is amazing. And like, I hope it actually becomes mainstream one day. So little of that actually did because it was like super niche, weird things. Apple doesn't play that game. Apple very much plays the, this is a ubiquitous piece of tech that we want in 50% of the households, you know, and like we want to be able to charge 2-3 times the amount we should for it, and people will pay it because that's what they do. They just did it with their headphones.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, like, have you looked into those headphones? Do you have any interest in those headphones? Because I feel like
I have
those headphones.
Interest, yeah,
are like made specifically for you, and it's like, so you, yes, are you going to get them? I mean, they're $550. It's ridiculous for what they are.
Yeah. No. Like, fuck that. I will never, ever, ever pay even near full price for those. If I can get them for half off, even then I'd have to consider it. Because that's the thing is, like, there's not only are they not the best, they are, like, double the price, essentially, of the standard right now, which are the Sony wireless over-the-ear headphones. Those are amazing. So it's kind of like a hard sell to get these, even though they're beautiful. But they have this dumbass charging case thing. There's a lot of stupid mistakes they've made.
Dumb. Look at that dumb charging. It's not charging. It puts it to sleep in the case, right? It charges via USB Type-C.
Yeah, you can charge with the case, like through the case. But anyways, I'm very interested in these headphones because I think that Apple does a pretty good job with a lot of its high-end stuff. Having said that, it's never the best job. So I'm interested. We'll never buy them for that much money. And I don't think they're going to drop in price anytime soon. And I know they're sold out for months now. Even if I wanted to get one, I couldn't. So people are fucking buying these things.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the Apple, like the VR headset, it just doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't strike me as something they'd really investigate and go for. And it does in a way because, like, you show these headphones and I'm like, that so isn't what I think of when I think of Apple. That, yeah, this VR headset would be something as well that I wouldn't think of them doing. But I like this idea of, I like getting to AR glasses. As a glasses wearer who loves his glasses, I want AR glasses one day. I'm always, when Amazon announced the Amazon Alexa glasses, I got excited for a second before I realized it was just a fucking microphone and speaker in the goddamn frames, right? Like, I want overlays. I want a heads-up display on my glasses or the option for it. So I'm excited to see us get there and push towards it with AR. But the VR thing is just such a weird thing. Like, I just don't, and especially in the current time frame of doing it this way. I'd like to see, you know, VR obviously have a bigger mainstream breakthrough. I think the Quest is doing a decent job of moving towards it. Obviously being, you know, something you just put on and go and not have to set up the cameras, not have to attach to a PC, not have to attach to a PlayStation. But yeah, I don't know what to make of this one.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. But like I said, being 50-50 on it, I would still bet on the side of this isn't actually going to happen.
Yeah, I would too. Speaking of, let's ask you another question then of something that might be happening. Number two on the Roper Report, is Tencent going to buy a gaming company? It would look to be that way. Will Hershey from Roundhill Investments tweeted, this morning, right? Yeah, this morning, 7:30 a.m. Tencent is reportedly raising several $1 billion to buy a U.S. or Korean gaming company. Any guesses as to the potential target? Will Hershey from Roundhill Investments, Roundhill Investments Twitter went on to say, Tencent considering debt financing for possible gaming deal. Tencent is looking at a potential acquisition of a gaming business, according to TMT Finance, almost TMNT Finance. Which would be dope. The target has not been identified, but is expected to be a gaming company in the U.S. or South Korea. On top of all that, to Will Hershey's tweet, Daniel Ahmad responded. Of course, Daniel Ahmad, industry analyst, we quote all the time on this show, and said, I have a good guess, and left it at that. This is one of those, for me personally, outside of my ballpark, you know what I mean? Like, or my pay grade, I think we could sit here all day long and pick U.S. things we think Tencent could buy. I mean, they already have so many interests in so many different U.S. companies. I could not tell you anything of what they might be buying Korea. This is much more of a, hey, this is happening over here. Be aware of it, because when it happens, it's going to be big news, you'd assume.
Yeah, totally. I'm right there with you. I do think that there's a much higher chance of it being Korean than it being a U.S. company that we are familiar with. But yeah. Tencent has the money that it could be.
And that's the thing about it, where when you talk about Tencent slowly, as I've said for years, as they've, you know, gone in and entrenched themselves and bought shares of so many different video game companies, and some of them full on out, you think about, yeah, the money they have behind them. Yeah, what would they come to America and buy? What one company would they snatch up and have be fully under their brand? don't know, and we could sit here and just list developers that or you know gaming companies even that make sense, but more of a hey, watch that could be happening. That'll be interesting if it happens, and it would be big news.
Yeah.
Speaking of big news on this question episode number 3, Valve. Well, they're still making games. That's the answer, apparently. Jordan Ullman at IGN has this report. In an interview with New Zealand's One News, Valve boss Gabe Newell has said that multiple games are in development at the studio and are waiting to be announced. The Valve co-founder has been staying in New Zealand during the COVID-19 pandemic after taking a vacation there following the launch of Half-Life Alyx. Imagine just being Gabe Newell rich. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm in New Zealand. This place is great. Hey, there's a global pandemic. Cool. I'll just stay here. No big deal. Yeah. Whatever. I'll just buy probably all new amazing computers and TVs and everything else I need everything to run I my need. Company from here. What do I care? Back to the interview, though. Quote, we definitely have games in development that we're going to be announcing. It's fun to ship games, Newell said when asked about future games coming out of Valve. Valve has developed and subsequently canceled a lot of games in the past, including several versions of Half-Life 3. The fact that Newell specifically says these new games will be announced suggests a shift from the company's recent history of being reticent to release new software. Newell also spoke about the process of creating Half-Life Alyx and Valve's return to single player. Quote, Alyx was great. To be back doing single player games, that created a lot of momentum inside the company to do more of that. Timothy, mm-hmm. How much does Valve mean to you?
Valve means less to me than it does to many others, but like to me, it really means Portal. And you know, and I guess like it's a lot of it means a lot to my friends and my close circles of Counter-Strike and all that stuff, and you know how big 1.6 was leading into, you know, eventually Source and all that. After that, for me, Portal 1 and 2 were the dream. You know, Left 4 Dead was a very fun summer, but I'm more interested in the fact that Newell here is even saying these things, because these are quotes that get you in trouble if they end up not being true, or at least get you know. Misused over the next couple years as like hey, well, they said this, like if they have things that they're
they bought Campo Santo and they killed their game, and where is this happening?
Yeah, that sucks, man. That
totally. Game looked awesome. Valley of the Gods, come on, man.
Yeah, look, the water, man, beautiful. But I'm a little surprised that he would come out and say things like this. Like, there's a lot of info in this quote here. Like, there are multiple games and they're excited to announce, like, that's sounds imminent.
Yeah.
And you know, that sounds like they're talking about the next year and a half of like by the end of 2022, talking about new Valve games and you know, coming to either, whether it's PC, console, both VR, like, and then be multiple games. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a mix of this and that.
Yeah. I don't, I asked this question because when I started at IGN in 2007, like Valve walked on water. You know what I mean? And that was right around Orange Box, obviously Portal. I'm not taking away from any of these games, but like they were so entrenched in a PC legacy that it never really spoke to me on that level. Obviously, I love Portal. Obviously, I adore Portal too. And so it's been interesting. I feel the industry in a way, I shouldn't say the industry, video game fandom in a way has become more like me. Where even when I got there and people were all over them, it was like I didn't have a connection to them. And I feel like as time has gone on, more people have become like me. Where, yeah, you know about how great Half-Life is. You know, okay, yeah, Portal you enjoyed, Left 4 Dead, whatever. But it is more of a thing of what have you done for me lately in a way that it's just become Steam, which you totally understand. And so, you know, I think back to even my career when Gabe Newell came on stage at that PlayStation E3.
I was the first E3 I ever was.
And how ridiculous that was, you know what I mean? After he had talked so much shit about the PS3 to come out and be on stage there, like that was a moment. But like now, I don't like it, and I don't know if it's the industry has changed so much, or if it's just Valve's place in the industry has changed so much and shifted to being more of a service than a game developer. That like I want to be like, you know, if Gabe Newell popped up during a state of play at PlayStation, like, oh, they're bringing Steam somehow to PlayStation, it wouldn't be about a big deal in the same way for me. And I don't know how many people are still here, you know, anchored in it. Mods in the chat, run a poll. Does Valve matter to you as a developer? I want to see that.
I see what you're saying. And I think that you're right to an extent, but I think that there's the devil's advocate side to it, where I think that more than ever, the difference between console and PC gamers is almost non-existent. Where there is so much more crossover than ever, and especially with how hard Xbox has been pushing their, you know, Game Pass being both, all that stuff. Like, PCs and everything, it's like you don't really need the highest NPC to be able to play video games nowadays, because sure. we've just gotten to a technological point that good enough is good enough for so many different experiences. So I imagine that if Valve were to come out and do something new, even if it was PC based, I think that it would mean a lot more to console players than ever before, despite there being the, you know, decade plus drought of actual software releases from Valve. I think that equally to the amount of people that it used to mean something to and then kind of like went away, it can come back instantly. And I think that they can immediately be looked at by people like us that aren't necessarily the most tied into the original Half-Life experience. Like, I think that they can get us in definitely extremely easy with next gen, or even with just PC, with the way things are nowadays.
Sure. So do you think then, is the only thing that stood in the way of Half-Life Alyx being a bigger deal the fact that it was VR, or do you think that like the amount of time Half-Life was on ice meant something too?
I don't think that the amount of time it was on ice meant anything. I think the fact that it wasn't called Half-Life 3 did, and the VR 1,000,000%. Like, that's just, they knew what they were doing there. That's limiting the amount of people they can play, but making a very specific experience for those people. It's like Half-Life Alyx just exists in a total bubble to me, where like sure. that is a VR game. It is not a video game. Like, it is, I mean, you know what I mean? It is a video game, but it is not a, that's not in the same breath as Half-Life 1 and 2. It is a different product. So I imagine if they were to put out a Half-Life product that was an actual traditional game, I think it would have gotten a lot more attention. And obviously Alyx got a lot of positive attention, but it didn't get the most positive attention. And that's just limited to VR and the fact that that is a game that not any PC can run.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's so weird. And I wonder, you know, you talk about how easy it would be able to get people back in. You're right, I guess. But I guess in a way, stick with me. I feel we look at BioWare now. Bethesda, CD's Project Red, right? And we see these game, these developers slash publishers, whatever you want to say, that have made missteps, and their legacy's been tarnished, right? They're no longer bulletproof. They're no longer squeaky clean. I feel like Valve's, I don't want to say, Valve's clout has gone down in the eyes of the gamer, I would say. And this is me just making up a thing on the top of my head. If you love Valve, totally with you. Again, there is a poll running right now. You can get in on the current poll. Does Valve matter to you? It's in your Twitch chat right now. I feel that like it's the same thing here, where they've just lost clout. They've lost something. And again, I'm not taking away from what they've done with Steam, obviously. I think they've pivoted to that and become a bigger behind-the-scenes player in the same way, or I guess not in the same way, I would think then, of like how Epic is such a behind the scenes player, but they also have Fortnite front and center that is doing so much and changing so much. And I know obviously you can make the argument for Dota and things like that on Valve's thing as well.
I mean, easily you can make that argument. It's just that's a different ecosystem. I mean, I would even say that the Dota and like MOBAs are just as different as a VR game compared to traditional games. Like, they are very specifically a PC focused style of video game that's very popular, but is not necessarily something that goes hand in hand with console players.
Sure, more traditional, that's totally fair.
Not even console, just mainstream gamers. But I don't know if clout's the right word, because I think you're right that obviously they're like level of, you know, the way we talk about Naughty Dog now, like people aren't necessarily talking about Steam because they haven't released anything in a very long time.
Of course,
they used to talk about them that way, but like I don't think like they haven't lost anything. There was no giant misstep, and I think that if there was even like small missteps, I think that the conversation would be a little bit different. But they can come out tomorrow and release a banger game, and all of a sudden they're right up there with Naughty Dog again. I think the shift would be that easy, because for the newbies like us, using that term very lightly.
Sure, like, but we're not from the ecosystem where Valve mattered the most.
Yeah.
Where it had it, where it established its fan base and created all that, sure.
Then I can imagine people being like, oh, this, it kind of reminds me of Witcher 3. Where it's like a lot of people didn't play Witcher 1 and 2, but then
that's a really good one.
All of a sudden it's like, oh shit. But if they were to play CD or Cyberpunk now, it'd be like, oh man, all your shit's gone. Like, Steam hasn't had a Cyberpunk and hopefully never will.
Sure.
And if they came out and their next game was a ridiculous, like whether it's a new IP or a sequel to one of the franchises we want to see again. Like imagine a Portal 3 of what that could be.
Oh, what man, that I would be. Fucking love another Portal.
It'd be insane. But I can also imagine them coming out with some new IP and it's just the fucking hotness.
Maybe a new IP like in the Valley of Gods. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Let them finish that game. That could be a great game we could let finish. Yeah, that's the thing is I hope it's an interesting conversation. And somebody in the chat, obviously the chat's really moving quickly, said in there, this is so much more than a yes or no question, which of course is right. And I think it matters, you know, it'll change gamer to gamer to gamer. And if we are on the PCGamer.com podcast, I'm sure there would be the poll wouldn't end like it did. The official Twitch poll ends. Does Valve matter to you as a dev? No. 69% of you voted no, they don't matter to you as a developer. 31% saying yes, they do matter.
I'll check that out.
Zyger quickly points out 69%. Nice. any given channel, any given day, these numbers would vary in who you have on there and what you're doing or whatever. It's just an interesting argument. But I'm with you, Tim, that, yeah, I guess at the end of this, I think they have the talent and they have the pedigree that, yeah, if they just came out and did it. Like, I enjoyed Half-Life Alyx, right? I do think that, like, I'm with you, where I know, you know, so many people on Game of the Year lists, whether it was the Game Awards, whether it was something that was kind of funny, whether it was personal lists, were like, oh man, guess you didn't play Half-Life Alyx. It's like, no, I did play Half-Life Alyx, and I love VR games, and Half-Life Alyx is a great VR game, but it's still a VR game. Like, it's not a video game that's out there competing with something like The Last of Us, Animal Crossing, any of the other Hades, Ghost of Tsushima, right? The games that we got last year. And I know that's sacrilege and would piss a whole bunch of people off. And I know, you know, Danny Dwyer and I did our review on the Gamescast when Half-Life Alyx came and he talked about like crying during it, right? Like that, I think, is having that connection to the source material and you know the series backwards and forwards. And I got to the end of it and I was like, oh, I think I know what's happening here. That's cool. But that's the thing too, is I ended Half-Life Alyx being like, I would definitely want to play the next Half-Life. I hope it goes back to being a first person game on a PC and hopefully on console as well, but I'd be down to see what they're doing with their universe now and where they're going with their narrative.
Yep.
And so, like you're saying, I guess they are just, you know, one good hit away, one big game, one big more accessible game for everybody away from being back on that pedigree, back on that pedestal, I mean, of being a Naughty Dog, of being a whoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I hope sense. It happens, but I don't think it's gonna.
Well then, you don't think they'll ever come back? I mean, like, this new old thing of like, they, you know, that they're, you know, they're single player games that create a lot of momentum inside the company to do more of that. Like, I think that's the biggest thing is, I don't know if you get, I think for Half-Life 3 in particular, like, they got in their own heads of, we have to follow this game up and we know it needs to be better than Half-Life 2, right? Or Half-Life, you know, the episodes. And I think that weighs on you as you try to outdo yourself from before and you start second guessing yourself and, you know, questioning if this is worth it. And when you're Valve making more money than God off of Steam, I think you then can go, you know what, cancel it. We're not going to do it. I think it is a publisher perish kind of situation. Like I guess that's the biggest thing about it. To go full circle on this conversation that's just been talking video games. Hi, everybody. That's what we do on Kind of Funny Games Daily. To talk about tarnished reputation of BioWare, Bethesda, CD Projekt Red. I'm happy that happened. Like, I wish, you know, all the games came out and were 10s and everybody was amazing game of the year, yada, yada. But I also don't like the idea of developers, let alone not even people, but just the brand being infallible and never having something that you're not going to miss on, you think everything's going to come out and be a 10 out of 10. Like, I think they would too, not in the moment, but in the aftermath, be able to be fallible and be able to be human beings and be able to be that, yeah, these are creative people and choices that we're going to make and you may not like them and maybe the game doesn't come together and there's a whole bunch of different things there. But like, I think that's what stood in Valve's way, is that they've had this pristine reputation. They get up to that point where they're going to go, you're shaking your head. No.
I think there are certain devs that need to be held to a higher standard based on so much, but at least a little bit budget, right? It's not like those games, like there's expectations there for a reason. So I say, hold them to it.
Well, I mean, no, I'm not saying they shouldn't be held to it. I'm not saying they should be given a pass. I'm just saying that I think in the long term, a failure helps build the company in the same way, or a different way, I should say, than nonstop success. I think everyone needs to have humble pie at some point.
Yeah, I guess it's just
what I'm saying. I'm not saying, BioWare, Bethesda, CD Projekt Red, they've been good in the past, so no big deal that they lied to you and sold you this broken game. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying like, no, you need to take your fucking lumps and then change and grow from that and not feel like it's the same thing in Jason's Bloomberg article about Cyberpunk and then in the BioWare stuff from Anthem, right? Of this being there. there's this CD Projekt Red, there's this BioWare magic, and that's what's going to bring everything together in the end. Well, they've both fucked up and failed now, so you hope that that changes everything through it, so they understand that, no, no, we are humans, we're not gods. We need to make this, you know, happen this way. Whereas I think Valve did so well and so well and so well and so well that got to a point that, well, this game isn't up to our standards, cancel it. And it's like, would that, and I'm not even saying that that game would have been a Fallout 76 or an Anthem or whatever. I'm saying that game might have been an 8. In, you know, an 8.3 on IGN. Like, is that worth tossing the baby out with the bathwater? No. Like, let people go out and try stuff and iterate and change.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if that's, even though they're saying this, I'm going to be shocked if we get a software announcement from Valve in the next 2 years.
Ooh, all right. I like that. I like that you put a little date on it. Number four on the Roper Report, former President Donald Trump, still banned on Twitch. This is Matt TM Kim over at IGN. Shortly following the inauguration of Joseph Biden as the United States' new president, Twitch announced it has indefinitely maintained its suspension of former President Donald Trump's Twitch channel, quote, due to the ongoing risk of further incitement of violence. The decision to indefinitely suspend the account comes as the company endeavors to remove the potential for harm to our community and the general public following the company's previous move to disable the channel earlier in the month on January 7th. The full statement from Twitch reads, "We have indefinitely suspended President Trump's Twitch channel due to the ongoing risk of further incitement of violence. The president's statements continue to be interpreted as calls to action, and we are taking the action to remove potential for harm to our community and the general public. Twitch has clear rules that prohibit hateful conduct, harassment, or incitement of violence on our service, and we consider off-service events when making enforcement decisions. However, the events of the past weeks have highlighted a gap with respect to rhetoric that encourages violence, regardless of whether or not it's directly streamed on Twitch. We will be updating our policies as a result of our consideration of this situation," end quote. Good riddance. Stay on.
Totally. And yeah, I like all this stuff so weird to me. Go for it.
I like the idea that they're spelling out of, you know, the highlighted the gap between rhetoric that encourages violence, regardless of whether it's on Twitch or not. Exactly. If you're going to go be an asshole anywhere else and then you're going to come on Twitch and be on Twitch.
Straight up.
Get fucked, son. Get the hell out of here.
No, that and that's the thing is, like, it sucks that it took everything that it did to get to this point. But I am happy that once it kind of got pushed over the cliff, it just snowballed and everyone was just like, nope, you're gone. And all it took was for that to happen. It took way too long, but for that to happen, that I do think that going forward, it's not just going to be Trump. It's going to be a lot of other people too.
Yep. This is definitely making a policy so that, yes, when somebody shoots their mouth off on Twitter or says something horrible on YouTube, Twitch can be like, cool, you're banned too. You're indefinitely suspended, right? Like, we don't have to worry about you. We can take the trash out finally.
Yeah. Interesting times ahead.
Exactly, Kevin. Number five on the Roper Report. Why are Among Us taking so long?
Fuck you, all right?
You're killing it today, Kevin. I love you. There's a great Reddit thread about you, Kevin, how amazing you are, and I agree with that very much.
Oh, thank you.
Number five on the Roper Report, why are Among Us updates taking so long? This is a blog from the Among Us developers. They listed a couple things that are coming still and then get into it. So, 2021 roadmap. Now that we've wrapped up a lot of stuff for the holidays, we're looking to be more transparent about what we're launching and the expected order by making a public roadmap. It won't have dates until we know we can hit them, but it'll be a place to find out what to look forward to first. More on that soon. That accounts. We wanted to launch this earlier and we're close, but we want to make sure it isn't half-baked before implementing. Parentheses, trust me, you do not want a bad reporting system with no accountability behind it. The first update for this is primarily focused on moderation. As stated in the previous devlog, and we're hoping to get this out ASAP. This is a small step towards ensuring everyone playing the game has a safe and welcoming experience. Don't worry, we've heard all your requests for things like a friend system, save stats, and so on, but for now, this will be the first thing available. Then, as the question I asked you, why are these things taking so long, they wrote this. Among Us gained incredible traction pretty late into 2020 that we weren't expecting, and that meant a lot of change for us. Not to dive into too much organizational stuff, but not only did we need to switch back to working on Among Us after thinking it was done, but we also needed to set ourselves up more sustainably to work on the game. We had to spend 2 months just restructuring, figuring out new processes, and getting external partners to help manage onboard. Help us manage onboard. Originally, it was just three friends working to get together, parentheses, and now I'm here to make it four high. But if we wanted this to work long-term and higher up, we needed to streamline things. It's all behind-the-scenes work, and while it meant time away from the game, it'll make it easier for current and future us to develop the game better. Not to mention additional platforms like Nintendo Switch and Xbox means more support, certifications to go through, and whatnot. We have help from our porting partners for that, but it still means we need to make sure future things we do are supported on those platforms. There's a ton of other things out of our control, legal issues, meetings, planning. So sometimes these things will take longer as well. Tim, do you see Among Us being a continued trend throughout 2021?
I struggle to, but yeah. I also can't imagine it not being. Like, that's the thing is, like, Among Us is something that I just don't understand. I've watched a couple streams and I'm just like, I don't get how this became as viral as it did.
Sure.
And like continuously enjoyed by people, both from a content creation, gameplay, and, you know, just viewer point of view. But I love everything I'm hearing here. I think that their transparency and all that stuff, everything that they're saying leads to definitely a chance, a viable chance at success of continuing their growth over the next year. They're making the right decisions, hunkering down, taking the break that they need to be able to strengthen the foundation to then go forward and go to these different platforms and do it right and nail it across the board. Like that, everything about that, that's right. You know, there's not a misstep in this to me.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what that community is looking for and if they'll stay around for it. Because, yeah, as you say, it continues to go on. You know, worth pointing out, tomorrow, Blessing, myself, and Snowmike Mike are joining Alana, Khalif, and Stella over at IGN for IGN's Among Us stream. It's 7 p.m. Pacific. It's raising funds for Child's Play, the obviously games industry charity that you should all know. And if you don't, come on over tomorrow, IGN.com, Friday, January 22nd, 7 p.m. But I thought it would have, and I don't mean this in a bad way, burned out a bit by now. The fact that there are still many, so many streams going on, there are still these charity streams. And I think some of that is tied up obviously in it being COVID. And this is such an easy way to go hang out with your friends, right? It reminds me so much of when we would sit around and play the Jackbox party games and do those for party mode, right? And play the lying one and all the fibber or whatever the hell it was called. And you know, is that the one where I was the guy in the I was really good at lying, faking it? That's the one. You know, faking it was so much fun, but faking it was like holding up your hands and doing all these things and, you know, being in the same room as each other. Whereas this one isn't about that. It is running around still lying to each other and having fun with each other, but it's simple enough. But then there's enough game mechanics in there, I think, that make it interesting still, that make, you know, good fake arguments with each other. I guess that's why it continues.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the numbers right now on Twitch right now at 10:48 a.m. On this beautiful January 21st, 2021. Fall Guys at 5.9K concurrent viewers on Twitch and Among Us at 61.4K.
Wow.
It's a lot.
That is a lot. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how fast they can get the updates out and if they lose people, but like coming to new platforms and all that stuff helps too. So Among Us is going to be an interesting one to watch throughout the year as we figure out what's going on with it.
Game Pass, baby.
Indeed, right? And then finally, number six on the Roper Report, it's good news from Kevin at GameSpot. According to Nintendo's website, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury weighs in at only 2.9 gigabytes. This is naturally larger than the Wii U version's file size, likely due to the extra content the Switch port contains, but it's much smaller than many other Switch games. For comparison, even Super Mario 3D All-Stars takes up nearly 5 gigabytes of space.
Very excited for this. Have you played 3D World, Craig?
I played a bunch of it at IGN for Let's
Play. Oh, I made you. I made you do the Let's Play series.
Yeah, me and Rich George. Remember, I got the crown. I was kicking ass. I'm very excited for this. I did. I really enjoyed what I played, and I never played it on Wii U. So, yeah, I'm excited to get back to this. You?
Oh, I'm so excited. I never 100%ed 3D World. I got fairly close. I think like I got to like the special world stuff, and I was like making it all the way through that. But I'm hoping to do that on the Switch version, especially with this new content. I'm excited to see what it has in store.
When's that? It's coming up soon, right?
February 12th.
Right around the corner.
Not that I'm counting down or anything.
Speaking of around the corner, Greg Way, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, of course, to write in to be part of the show, to support us, get the show with that there post show. But more importantly for right now, that's where you go to get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Purple. Throw some bedding on a bunch of different mattresses and sure, they all look alike. The same goes for pillows. But peel away the layers, look at what's inside, and you'll see they aren't all created equal. And that's what makes every Purple pillow and mattress unlike anything you've ever slept on. The Purple Grid sets the Purple mattress apart from every other mattress. It's a patented comfort technology that instantly adapts to your body's natural shape and sleep style. With over 1,800 open air channels designed to neutralize body heat, Purple provides a cooling effect other mattresses can't replicate. And this cutting edge technology doesn't stop with the mattress. Every Purple pillow is engineered with the grid for total head and neck support and absolute airflow. So you're always on the cool side of the pillow. Purple's proprietary technology has been innovating comfort for over 15 years, but don't take this ad's word for it. Take Christmas in January, Joey Noel's word for it. She sleeps on a Purple mattress. It keeps her cool, and she endorses it and says you should too. You can try every Purple product risk-free with free shipping and returns. And Purple has financing available as low as 0% APR for qualified customers. Experience the Purple grid and you'll sleep like never before. Go to purple.com/games10 and use the promo code games10 for a limited time. You'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/games10, promo code games10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. Terms apply. Tim, I can't wait for all of us to get Purple pillows and sleep on the cool side of the pillow all the time.
They're the best.
But you have one?
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you get me one?
They're expensive.
Fair enough. Well, not with our the thing I just said. It doesn't matter. I'm excited to get a pillow. It's so far away. If I wanted something more ingredients, what game to mama shop? Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Shing on Xbox One and Switch. Airbounce, the jump and run challenge on Xbox One. Tadpole Treble on Switch. Ride 4, Xbox Series X/S and PS5. Unspottable, Xbox One. Loot Hero DX, Switch. Sally Face on Switch. Ferodrick the Driver, Switch. Jiffy, Switch. Missile Dancer, Switch. The Game is On, Switch. Ephemeral Fantasy on Dark, Switch. Ghostinoid on Switch. Nosferatu. Lilinor on Switch.
Lilinor
on Switch. Is that another Dracula name? Do you know that one?
No. Cousin Lily? No, I don't know about her.
No. Bouncing Hero on Switch. Chess Royale on Switch. Maybe Royal. Grisia, Phantom Trigger 5.5 on Switch. Beezier on second edition Switch. Endless Lilies. Quietus of the Nights on PC. Ocean's Hearts on PC.
Stopped. All of you. Just Thursdays. Don't do it. Don't release a Switch game on Thursdays if your game's called Grisia Phantom Trigger 5.5.
You know somebody's out there stoked for it, though. Skull, the Hero Slayer, launches on Steam. PUBG update 10.2 is out right now on all platforms. Brings you a map called Haven. Builds on the momentum by supporting next esports events. There's stuff going on. Going Under is free. Working from Home DLC is now available. It's new game modes, outfits, abilities, and more. And now, that's a weird. Oh, and more. Anyways, it's on PC right now. It'll be on console February 25th. Talking about GTA Online, the ramp-equipped Vapid Slam Truck hits the Southern San Andreas Super Autos catalog in GTA Online today with a unique design perfect for offering mobile stunt rides across Los Santos while a variety of double rewards and discounts await players all week. I have Ride 4 here, but I already said that. Doesn't need that. The Predator skin is out now in Fortnite. Did you get it last night, Kevin? I saw you.
No. I was watching, what's that one movie? Scott Pilgrim. Oh, so I was I got the message and I was like, and maybe 45 minutes in, and I was like, there's no way I can play it tonight without like staying up super late. So
sure, sure. Tomorrow, you did the right thing.
Yeah, I'm going to put out a message, I think. See who wants to get in there. Yeah.
I'd like to, but I got a lot of other things I need to play. There's a lot of things to play, and I need to watch Scott Pilgrim tonight, too. Game Pass additions today are Outer Wilds on the cloud, Donut County on cloud, console, and PC, Desperados 3 on cloud, console, PC, and Control on PC. New dates for you. Alt Deuce, Beyond Chronos is on Steam VR Friday, February 19th, and PlayStation VR Thursday, April 15th. The Turrican flashback is coming to Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 on January 29th. And then Auto Chess comes to PS4 January 27th. Woo!
Whoa. Indeed.
Tim.
That was a lot of words, a lot of dates. It
was.
Greg.
There was a lot of stuff there, a lot of Switch games. We were all over it. We did what we had to do. The job is done.
Depending on what the Groundhog says, they might need to change all these dates because they might not be accurate anymore.
Exactly. We have to ask the Groundhog. Somebody find me a Groundhog. Oh, hold on. Nanobiologist did write in, by the way, that you were wrong and said California, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, most rodents are illegal to own. There are exceptions, but groundhogs aren't one of them. So it looks like we're not going to be able to get a groundhog in California, Pennsylvania, or Georgia.
I read online. Well, it's only illegal if you get caught.
That's true.
That's a good thing to find for us to use in court later, Kev. But I'm a little perplexed by this information, Greg, because if we know one groundhog, where does he live?
Punxsutawney.
Which is where?
Pennsylvania.
And your story's starting to fall apart.
Kevin?
It's our boy. He lives there. And he ain't wild. He wears clothes sometimes.
He hangs
out with Bill Murray sometimes.
He bit him once, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I just sent you a breaking news here, right? From the Twitter XBM network.
Motherfucking God.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I am so in.
Skagan,
why can't I open this?
Skagan gung gagan. Coming to Fortnite, apparently, are Sarah Connor and T-800 skins. Take all my money. Are you kidding me right now? T2? Linda Hamilton? Terminator right there?
And she looks cool.
She looks so cool. Exoskeleton there? Oh my God. Kevin, we got it.
This is exciting. I'm
all right, you know what, Kevin? Yeah. I will. I'll get on tonight. I'll come get the predator skin. I gotta get my battle pass grinded.
Hear that, Barrett Joey? Sorry, Bless. We don't have space for you.
No room for you, Blessing. Sorry. Go make another hit show, you clown. Nobody wants it. You know what I mean?
He's a damn clown.
Just keep making us money, you clown. Tim. We ask people watching to, of course, go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where they can get the show ad-free. They can get it with the post-show. And, of course, they can write in to be part of the show. We already had some questions, obviously, and things come through today. Right now, we're going to do a squad up, though. KDG needs help on PlayStation. KDG's PSN is Jedberg111. So that's JEDBERG111. I was persuaded / manipulated into making my New Year's resolution to platinum NAC1. And probably also two. So I'm looking to pad out my friends list with anyone who's ever played Knack before so I have a better chance with all the secret chests. We don't even need to speak to interact, lol. Also, if you plan to play Knack 1 or Knack 2 in the future, if you add me and wait a month or so, you should get better loot when you play.
I want every single time we do squad up to have a nice little background bed of music.
You know? They can't. Yeah, they can't hear that. Just a heads up.
I couldn't hear it either.
It's very low. It's going up.
I'm not gonna hear it now.
I like it too.
If you are a sociopath like KDG and are going to play in Platinum Knack, hit up Jedberg 111. I've never even looked into the Knack Platinum. I didn't know you look at it and get loot from each other. It sounds like Nier. This sounds like Nier on the PlayStation Vita. What's 45 minutes? What's going on, Kevin?
He said an hour. As in, you can get the platinum in an hour, to which I respond in 45 minutes.
That's not true.
You've never looked into it, so how would you fucking know?
God. Well, I'll tell you right now, KDG, if it turns out I'm getting the platinum in Knack in an hour or 45 minutes, you might have Greg Miller out there playing with you. Hold on a second now. Hold on a second.
Greg, you need to do Knack on stream. You got a platinum Knack on stream. Make it happen.
It's not true. We just made it up, Greg. Don't get excited. Man.
Oh, God. You got me all excited about that. Come on now. I don't want
that. Takes over 100, says Travis Ward.
100 hours. That's so different than what we said.
Why would you do that? You know what I mean? Why would you do that, Katie? Why would you go here? I'm going to PlayStationTrophies.org. What do they say here? They say approximate time to platinum is 35 plus hours. You need two plus playthroughs to get it. Lot. Well, I mean, we like to go back and forth. You have it at an hour. You have it at 100 hours. 100. Somewhere in there is going to be the truth. Usually,
100 is 35 plus.
Tim, you're right. All right. You just crushed that one. I want you to know that. I'm very proud of you. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Drewtendo64 says, today is the 21st day of the 21st year of the 21st century.
Wow.
That's fucking amazing. Also, you know what I mean?
21. Yeah.
Tommy Boy says you pronounce nascent, nascent. Thank you. CJ Rock says, for month 21, just flip December from 12 to 21 and the year, right?
I'll take it.
I'll think about it. I'll think about it. Does that make more sense to you than me doing adding a one to February?
I mean, well, here's the thing. It's not up to us at this point. So
you're right. We said Bernie Sanders and the World Health Organization. We do have to get their approval.
Well, they need to hang out with the groundhog and figure it out. I would kill to see Bernie talking to a goddamn groundhog about this situation. Greg Miller.
Sure, that meme has gotten there.
Wanting a freaking 21st month.
Nanobiologist is one who sent us in that Fortnite thing. Thank you very much. Andy Cortez says the John Wick 2 video is not up on YouTube.
It got stuck processing.
I hate that shit.
Cool Greg's on it. He's uploading a new version, hoping it's not going to process as long. But stay tuned. YouTube.com/kindoffunny.
Oh, here's interesting. Nanobiologist corrects his "you're wrong." To clarify, those states have specific laws against it, but most states have laws against owning groundhogs. Pennsylvania specifically says it's needed to have been raised in captivity for you to own this groundhog. So that's how we get around it with our boy Punxsutawney Phil.
Okay, cool. Good. Justice served.
Ignacio Rojas corrects me. Thank you very much. And says Terminator skeleton is an endoskeleton and exoskeleton goes outside the body. Great call. Thank that's you. True. I did say that wrong.
Did you say exoskeleton? I didn't even hear you.
I did. I said exo. I did. Yeah. You're asleep at the wheel, Kevin. Somebody's got to stop you. KDG writes in, not that you're wrong, but to confirm, the NAC Platinum fucking sucks, lol. Okay, here you go. And then because why not? Katie writes in with this. If you want my full squad up story, my partner bought me NAC as a joke present for my birthday. It was right after I pre-ordered the PS5, and he knew I was trying to play as many PlayStation 4 classics as possible before next gen. He also wrote my friend into getting me NAC too. So in an attempt to call his bluff, turn the joke on him, I told him I would not only play this joke gift, not only complete it, but actually platinum it. When I hadn't got round to installing it yet on New Year's Eve, he talked me into agreeing to the following 8-point pledge. Number one, NAC shall be the first thing I play on my PS5 in 2021. Done. Number two, I shall not play anything other than NAC on my PS5 until I finish the main story. Done. Number three, I shall complete the main story of NAC before your birthday. Before your birthday, March. Done. Number four, my New Year's resolution is to platinum NAC 1 in 2021, pending. Number five, my next year thing is to platinum NAC 2 in 2022. Number six, my New Year's resolution in 2023 will be to platinum NAC 3. If that's not possible, I will instead platinum both 1 and 2 remastered on PS5 as long as you buy it for me. Number seven, I will have acquired Mark Cerny's phone number by the end of 2022 to ensure I can complete point six. And number eight, this is a joke. This joke has not gone too far, and I will fully support it until the end of the year of NAC. Hashtag all hail NAC. Hashtag NAC for Smash.
Oh, my God. That's a lot, and I'm here for the journey, man. Never disrespect our boy NAC, the Lord and
Savior. I respect it.
Everybody right now, if you're not going to play with KDG, follow Jedberg 1111 on PSN profile so you can see what's going on. You know what I mean?
Even just to see storytelling.
What's going on over there. Ladies and gentlemen, that is, of course, your Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, the 21st of January, 2021. Can they hear this music?
Can they hear this? No, they can't. They can't, but it's so perfect. It's so good with you closing out.
Oh, God, we still have a post show to do, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But remember, we will be back tomorrow. Blessing and Natalie Flores from Fanbyte will be hosting your final episode of the week. Of course, we're far from done here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you can catch Blessing showing you some hot new shit right after this. I think with Nick Scarpino, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as they're playing some Hitman 3. And then remember, of course, 2 p.m. Pacific, we are reacting to the Resident Evil event for Village. Of course, you can get the Let's Play. Plays, or the stream, I should say, of Blessing playing games over on, well, I think he's doing First Impression, so it's all over the place. But remember, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, and then the archive of the Resident Evil thing, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
First game announcement stream of 2021.
My
or,
God.
You know, not announcement, but event.
Are you excited? You hype? You hyphy?
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about it. I'm excited to see what Village is, but I'm more excited to see if RE4 remake gets announced.
Okay. Well, you'll find out soon. For now, we got a post show to do. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.